Hello and welcome to Dice and an Extra Slice, our Bake Off Review podcast. We're back.
It's like we never said goodbye. Hey, it's me. It's Josh. Woo!
Is that it? That's all they get this week.
Okay, let me do something else. Here are your instructions to be my friend. Be my friend. It's Josh.
Okay. hi, I'm Alicia. You don't need instructions to be my friend. You just need to bring me snacks.
Snacks
or baked
like,
goods.
Snacks like desserts?
Yeah. Speaking of desserts, Josh, what week was it this week?
It was punishment week and everyone received their just desserts. No, wait, dessert week.
It was dessert week on Bake Off. I enjoyed this week. There was much less casual racism this week, which I think can only be a good thing.
And there was a bit of drama. There was some of your classic Bake Off drama shenaniganery.
Yeah. Risk of stuff dropping, waiting for things to set, putting things in fridges. Yeah, love that shit.
There were some times it was approaching Baked Alaska Gate.
Nothing will ever be baked.
Nothing, I know, because the BBC One really edited well for drama.
It was dessert week, and to start off their signatures this week of dessert week, they had to make a steamed pudding.
Specifically, 8 steamed puddings.
Which, honestly, I'm
identical
not
identical steamed puddings.
I'm not a steamed pudding person.
You're not a pudding person. In general, you don't really like pudding desserts.
No, like, I absolutely love a jam roly-poly. They used to do it in my school, and I don't know what kind of jam roly-poly they did, but it was great.
I'm constantly trying to help you chase that bliss.
I think it's because it's got jam in it, and jam is, like, supreme.
Sure, you do like jam.
But all of the other steamed ones, it's just, like, soggy cake.
For our American listeners, where pudding is something that's served in a cup and is similar to, like,
yogurt.
Angel Delight or yogurt or something along those lines. In the UK, a pudding tends to be like a cake that is steamed and cooked.
Also, pudding is just another word for dessert.
It can be another word for dessert as well, but it's dessert week and they're doing steamed puddings, which is why I'm making the clarification of what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some of the traditional steamed puddings. We actually had one that was a traditional steamed pudding, which was Dawn's.
Spoiler alert, guess who did the traditional one?
It was Dawn. Traditional Dawn.
Orange and apple, was it?
I think so, yeah.
Orange and apple with caramel?
Might have been caramel. Yeah, it was caramel.
Caramel.
Like a caramel sauce at the bottom and or the top, depending on whether it was out of the dish or in the dish. Orange and apple doesn't seem that traditional to me.
No, me neither.
I mean, another traditional one was Maxi with the sticky toffee puddings. Or as we call them in my family, stiffy tocky puddings. Because it's fun to say that.
But it had nuts in it, and I've never had nuts in a sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah, nuts are pretty common in a sticky toffee pudding, yeah.
Well, they seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Paul said there was just enough nuts.
Just enough nut.
Yeah.
Gotta have that nut.
Oh, they will say Dawn's was... It was okay. I don't think they were blown away by Dawn's.
Yeah, Dawn's were, like, absolutely fine.
Yeah, just average.
Yeah. Maxi's well enjoyed by the judges. Another...
Yeah, Prue said the perfect level of stickiness, which is such a weird compliment to give.
The perfect level of stickiness and sweetness in a sticky toffee pudding. Mm. But a sticky toffee pudding has to be sticky.
I guess.
Otherwise, it's just a toffee pudding.
I'll leave it to your expertise. You love sticky toffee.
I do. I bloody love a sticky toffee pudding. My friend Harvey's mum makes the best sticky toffee pudding. She doesn't even make the cake. She buys that Jamaican ginger cake and just makes a fucking awesome toffee sauce.
So that's a fun hack for you guys out there. If you love sticky toffee,
shout out
but don't
to
want
Harvey's
to make a
mum,
cake.
whose name I still don't know. Another traditional one, a Scottish traditional one from our traditional Scott Kevin, Clootie puddings.
I mean, you say it's traditional.
It's
meant
traditional.
But they're meant to be boiled, not steamed.
Well,
traditionally they're boiled.
Look, steam and boiling it's all water at 100 degrees, but it's just different states of matter.
Yeah, I appreciate that he was going for something fun from his heritage, but fuck, they looked really messy.
They looked awful.
They were all different shapes. The topping is meant to be topped with something very plain, but they just looked a bit shit.
They just kind of looked like big owl pellets.
Yeah, and judges said they were a bit shit to eat.
Yeah, and they were dumplings.
And they weren't very flavourful.
It wasn't a steamed pudding.
No.
Which is a shame, because a clootie dumpling is normally like done in a big bit of cloth. A clootie. It's normally done like a big cloth around it, and as you say, it's boiled. And the clootie actually refers to the fabric around it, not the
that's
thing
the
itself.
Clootie.
That's the clootie, yeah. That's the clootie.
I like the word clootie.
Clootie. Have you heard of the new character joining Dice and a Slice, Clootie?
When you say that's the clootie, it sounds like you're saying that's the truth. That's the clootie of the matter.
I'm Ben Shapiro, and that's the clootie.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. And the final traditional one that was like a proper steamed pudding was Abdul with his fig and date one. And this is where we begin to venture into the slightly more esoteric understandings of pudding. I think he had like a saffron custard as well.
Yeah, something unusual.
But they looked gorgeous.
They were very, very
sweet.
They were
beautiful. He had like some tempered chocolate shards or something. There was pink chocolate.
Oh, yes, that was laid on the top. Oh, they were very elegant.
Looked really like they were proper puddings.
Yes. And looked like something you'd get in a restaurant.
They had figs on them. I'm not fussed by figs. I think fig doesn't really taste like all that much.
I don't know that I've ever had a fig, apart from those weird biscuits that have figs in them.
Ah, fig rolls, or fig Newtons, as the Americans might call them.
I did not enjoy.
Next up was, can we talk about Carol? Can we talk about Carol?
Oh, Carol. Like, okay, so they start this challenge, and Carol decided she was doing some kind of plum pudding. Great. What does she do in the first 10 minutes? Burn her fucking plums.
She burned her plums.
So the judges come over to ask her what she's doing this week, and she's stood in front of a tray of just a buttload of burnt plums. And they're like, hey, this is your mistake of the day. You've got it out of the way now. Not a problem, because the rest of the day you'll be perfect. This is your mistake. That's fine. We move on. And what does she do? She fucks up.
Spoiler alert. That was not the only mistake Carol made that day. Carol didn't let her puddings steam for long enough, and possibly made them wrong, and ended up making what to me looked a lot like sick. It looked like someone had been sick into her pudding basins after eating some puddings.
So how these steamed buns puddings are made is basically you put them into the pudding shaped tins, and then you bake them, and then you tip them out. So essentially you turn the tray down and you pull it off, so the puddings will be like upside down but right way up. And you cannot know if your steamed pudding is cooked until you turn it out.
Yep.
So all the bakers had that, oh, is it done enough? Is it done enough? But Carol's literally just like slopped out.
The thing is, you can put like a skewer through them, and if mixture comes out, it's not done.
Aren't they all kind of gooey in mixture anyway? I don't think that's a good tell. I don't think it's like the same as a cake.
Also, it occurs to me, I've thought of a universal reference point. Christmas pudding. It's a pudding, and that's why it's a Christmas pudding.
Soggy and
not
gross.
Just like Christmas dessert.
Yeah.
For cooking method and style.
But yeah, it was not good. She kind of dumped her toppings on top.
They were fucking ridiculous.
They said the flavours were okay, but they were
raw.
Yeah.
They were raw. It's fucking raw! Gordon Ramsay'd have a field day. Yanoush made pina colada puddings. I think this is the third time Yanoush has gone with pina colada flavours this season.
I don't feel like it is. I know you said that. I think you're confusing him with someone.
I think there's a lot of pina colada-ing going on, and I feel like a lot of it comes from Yanoush.
No,
but I could be wrong.
I think you're wrong.
I'm happy to be wrong, but it's just where I'm at.
I'm almost certain you're wrong. He's used alcohol, but I don't think he's used...
Yeah, I think he's used booze every week.
I don't think he's used a pina colada. They had little tiny... Not syringes, but little like squirty bottles.
Little pipettes,
that's the word.
Rum.
And Paul put some on Prue's little bit of pudding, and Prue was like, oh, you've ruined it. And then she took the bite and was like, oh, no, you haven't. They were delicious, apparently.
Prue, if you do need to have a few drinks to get through a day, please do talk to someone. And to be honest, if you need to have a few drinks to get through a day, please do speak to someone. Anyone at all. Not a bartender.
You've made the tone really serious now, and I feel silly talking about pina colada cake.
I have a serious thing to talk about. Sandro's serious apple and cherry crumble puddings, which looked... They were gorgeous. They were divine. And they tasted fantastic. He was spot on.
Yeah, they really
loved
his puddings.
He made the perfect pud. To the extent that Sandro said he could feel the handshake in the air.
Oh.
But the handshake never came.
Even though Sandro was close to a handshake, the MVP...
Shabira.
Absolutely. Shabira.
Shabira's were beautiful.
She layered her pudding, her steamed pudding, into the tray in different layers to basically form it into a watermelon. So with a green and then pink and all of this, knowing that the buns would like open up whilst cooking, so that when she turned them out, it was like a watermelon had burst open at the top, and it had little black marks for where the seeds would be. And she displayed them in this gorgeous tree display.
It was stunning.
The colours were so good. Problem was, the judges were like, oh, watermelon's a tough flavour. So she ended up over-essencing her steamed buns.
She over-watered her melon.
Yeah, she did.
Which is a shame, because that could have been front runner.
But they were really good. They still enjoyed them. They were just too watermelon-y.
It was just too watermelon-y, which is...
stunning. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Watermelon-y is my favourite Spice Girl. after that, there was a duck on the TV with some ducklings, which was fantastic. And it was a good time for me. This is
we like
been,
the nature.
This has been the duck announcement.
The technical.
You
heard us mention it at the end of last week's episode.
We did, yeah.
Assuming you listened to that.
Mm.
They had to make a lemon meringue pie.
And that was the instruction they had.
Yep.
They normally get a recipe, even if it's a pared down recipe. But their instruction this week was cycle the oven to 180, then bring the cycle down to 150, then make a lemon meringue pie.
Number one, make a lemon meringue pie. That was it.
They were given all the ingredients. You know, they had flour, butter, sugar.
Yeah. All the stuff you need for pastry, a lemon curd, and some meringue.
Yeah.
Which Prue argued are three things every baker should be able to make, which I get. I understand where she's coming from.
So why doesn't Shabira know how to make a tart?
She didn't know how to make a lemon meringue pie.
Yeah. But it's three things that every baker should be able to do, right? Shabira had a real nightmare with this technical because she's not had lemon meringue pie. Didn't know what it was. She was doing it based on what other people were doing.
And her instincts.
Now, I will hold my hands up and say making a lemon meringue pie is pretty bloody difficult because it's just it's three different techniques that are it's really tough. Making a meringue is difficult, especially if you want one that's crispy on the outside and marshmallow on the inside. Making a decent lemon filling similar to a curd is also very, very difficult to get the right thickness and to know what that thickness is going to be when it comes out of the oven.
Mm.
And making good pastry that doesn't fall apart but also like remains crumbly is incredibly difficult.
I appreciate you saying all of this. My mum has just always made lemon meringue pie and she says they are the easiest dessert.
If you know how to do it...
No, I fully believe it's different if you know how.
Like, go make a lemon meringue pie now, Alicia.
Oh, but the difference is that I can't bake any of those elements.
Ah, well, there we go.
Shabira just had the problem in the, you know, everyone... So how you start is you bake the pastry and you blind bake it, which basically means you put the pastry in the pastry tin and then you put some baking paper over it, and most people use, like, baking beads to weigh it down and keep the shape.
Yeah.
And you just blind bake it and shove it in.
Mm.
Once Shabira took it out after blind baking, she thought if she cooked it again... It would then cook more when she had the lemon on it, and she thought that would essentially burn it and overcook it. Everyone else took the cooking beads out and everything in the paper off and put it in the oven again for like another 5-10 minutes. And she didn't do that.
Which is what you're supposed to do with blind baking because it gives the crust a colour, nice flavour to it as well.
No soggy bottoms.
And it also cooks it and it stops that Bake Off favourite, a soggy bottom.
A soggy bottom. But she went with her gut of not wanting to burn it and fucked it. Hers was not
Didn't
cooked.
Pay off. She did not do well in the technical.
In general, everyone did a pretty good job. Everyone had a relatively tasty lemon curd. They wanted a tart lemon curd, which I like a tart lemon curd.
I think it has to be tart because you've got that sweet meringue.
The sweet meringue. Some of the meringue piping was beautiful. Lots of people had big, cool quiffs and things.
Very beautiful, elegant piping going on.
Who did the really weird piping? It was like, it looked like a building, like the Washington, D.C.
The White House.
Yes. But do you know what I mean? Because it was like round with then like another round
in
the middle.
Was that Kevin?
I think it was Kevin.
I can't remember.
Seems like the sort of thing Kevin would do.
There was a lot of real good meringue. Meringue game's on point.
It was very fluffy and very buoyant.
Meringue game on soft point, on soft peak.
Yeah, the meringue was good. Mm. And I don't actually think we've said it this year while we've been doing our Bake Off reviews. How the technicals work is the bakers bring their baked goods up and place it behind their photo, but the judges don't actually know whose is whose when they're eating it.
Yeah.
I don't think we've mentioned that, but the technical is blind judged. They don't see them baking it. They don't see them doing it. They just come in and try all of them and rank them.
I think we did that last year.
We mentioned it last year, but we've not said it this year.
And we've assumed that the people that listened last year are listening this year.
Yeah, but we might have new people. So hey, if you're new, that's how the technical
works. That's how the technical works 4 episodes in.
So, bottom of the technical.
Bottom of the technical. Shabira. No surprise there.
Yeah, her pastry was wet and kind of raw.
Yeah, it was wet. And then it was Dawn, who just didn't make good...
Her piping was awful.
Her piping was all over the place. Her pastry wasn't great, and she didn't make enough filling.
Mm.
So it didn't have nice, even layers of
stuff. And what was so sad is that Dawn makes a lemon meringue pie. She said most weekends she makes one. Her friends reckon it's one of the best things she does. It's delicious, but... I don't know whether she got in her head or what happened, but she just fucked it.
I think sometimes you just freak out.
And she was so sad in herself because this is something she can confidently make. And she just didn't do it. Bless you, Dawn.
And then Carol.
Well.
Who, again, the pastry was a bit messy, but actually there wasn't much wrong with what she did.
I think the piping on that was also really...
Her piping was atrocious.
Yeah. It was like she just slopped the meringue on. It didn't even look like it had been piped, in all honesty.
Yeah. Then fifth was Kevin.
Oh, you're going all the way through.
I was just gonna say fifth was Kevin, Fourth was Sandro.
Mm-hmm.
Third was Maxie.
Yeah.
Who did some pretty good piping, made some pretty good curd, and had some pretty good pastry.
That's pretty much how the tops worked.
Yeah. Second was Abdul.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that let him down was a slight crack in the pastry.
Yeah.
And then top, tippity-tip-tip-top, Janusz.
His was beautiful.
Who made the perfect lemon meringue pie, according to Prue Leith.
Yeah, it was beautiful and looked delicious. I would want to put that in my body. Yeah. Well done, Janusz.
Well done, Janusz. Sainsbury's Taste the Difference.
Mm-hmm.
What did they have this week? There was, we saw a lasagna once,
a beef
short rib, and a burger twice.
Mm-hmm.
Lasagna was cake. The burgers were both cake. Beef short rib was beef short rib. Now, we saw the lasagna and we knew immediately that it was cake. But there was a moment when I was like, but what if it isn't?
You're falling further into the conspiracy.
I'm falling down the hole, and I think now they're using the CG to manipulate us into thinking that it isn't cake. And it's all just part of big cake.
That burger really looked like a fucking cake.
The first time they had the burger out, I was like, obviously a cake. Second time, I was like, that's got to be a real burger.
I didn't see the second burger, so I can't comment.
It was the same. It looked the same. But I'd tricked myself into believing.
Into thinking it could be a burger.
Into thinking it could be a burger.
Because you don't think they'll show you cake twice.
Anyway, more next week on the big cake, is it cake, fake cake conspiracy.
Is it conspiracy or not conspiracy?
Is it conspiracy? Which brings us to the final.
To the showstopper.
The showstopper. I don't know why I called it the final.
Yeah, it's not the final. We're not there yet, bud. We've got a few weeks left.
Yeah.
It is the showstopper this week. And this week, they had to make a mousse dessert with a surprise inside.
A hidden surprise mousse dessert.
And they had to have three other dessert elements, one of which had to be baked.
Correct.
Because it's bake-off.
It's bake-off. It's got mousse off.
Yeah. Josh Wrightly had a great idea. Josh, what would you have hidden inside your mousse surprise?
I would have hidden a tiny plastic mousse.
Perfect. I think they would have been sad that it was plastic and not baked, but I love the idea of putting a mousse within a mousse surprise. That's very clever, I love it.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I made the whole thing Canada-themed.
Oh, wouldn't it have been good if Dawn had named her something punny about like a mousse shroom? Because she had mushrooms all over hers, didn't she?
Yeah, so her theme that she went with was woodland.
that classic theme.
And she was trying to make a mousse mushroom on the inside or a toadstool with some jelly flowers running either side. There was a dacquoise, which is like a nut-based sponge as a base, and then I think it was a strawberry mousse or something around the outside of it.
With mushrooms on top and bits and bobs.
Yeah, decorated mushrooms, all kind of decorated as nicely as she could muster. But she had some issues with her flowers, and the way she was going to make the flowers...
It's like a long tube with the flower shape inside, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was making like a long flower sausage.
Yeah, that she had to pour the gelatin into, which gelatin is how you get jelly. It can also be used to, help mousse stay solid and stay together. They used it in some mirror glaze for some chocolate. Yeah.
And generally isn't plant-based.
No.
Yeah.
Like gelatin and jelly
it's
sweets.
It's made of animal foot.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them this week over-gelatined.
Yeah.
It's a recurring theme with gelatin generally, because if you put in too much, it becomes rubbery and inedible, and it does not set properly.
Yeah, and the problem is gelatin is not the sort of thing that you can put it in and like test it as you go, because it's something that you use to help something set. You will only know if you've used too much or not enough once it's set, and at that point you cannot fix it.
Which is why you do practices.
Well, Carol had, 30 sheets of gelatin,
did she say she was using 30 sheets of gelatin.
Yeah.
Carol, you psychopath.
Fun fact about gelatin. When I was younger, I used to do synchronized swimming like they do in the Olympics. And when we would do performances or competitions, we had to have our hair slicked back in a very tight bun. And to keep that bun in place and stop your hair from moving around or coming out, we had to cover our hair in gelatin so that your hair was like a rock solid thing. So before competitions and stuff, my mum would make some gelatin and brush it all across my hair. And then I'd have to wash it out when I got home. And it was a very weird time.
That's gross.
A fun swimming fact for you. I don't know if that's what they do in the Olympics.
Swimming fact.
swimming fact.
Yeah, Carol, Strawberry Fields. She made a red velvet strawberry shaped.
That was her surprise in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And then had various different mousses around the outside.
Yeah.
and then covered it in what was supposed to be a chocolate mirror glaze. Now, mirror glaze is that thing that they pour over cakes. You may have seen the videos. They pour it over cakes and it sets. And often there's like a galaxy design in it or something.
Yeah, it's very shiny.
Very, very shiny. It looks almost like emulsion paint.
Yeah, very
smooth,
very pretty.
Very shiny. It's got a little bit of gelatin in it just to keep that shape and keep that sheen.
Hers was lumpy as fuck.
It was lumpy. It was...
It was brown coloured. And I thought she... I couldn't tell if the intention was to make a log because she made this really long cake that was brown and lumpy with strawberries on top, and it just looked like a log.
It was a brown lumpy log.
It wasn't very appealing.
Didn't
they
like
said it,
it
looked very 70s, didn't they?
And you know what, it did look very retro, and she'd like done piped little rosettes of cream around the bottom and put the little strawberries on top. Like, it was a perfect 70s dessert. If it was 70s week, she'd have been in there. But the flavors fell flat.
Yeah.
And also, it was
way
rubbery
too
as
much
fuck because she put too much gelatin in, like an absolute idiot. You know who else used too much gelatin? Abdul,
what I will say, Abdul's was beautiful.
It was visually stunning.
He was doing a galaxy theme. So he had like just a normal cake shape. It had hidden planets inside. That was his surprise, little cake pop planets.
Yes.
And then he had planets also running around the cake. And he did a mirror glaze that was purple with like different shades of blue drizzled on top. And it had this marble effect. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, it really
but
was.
But it was a bit rubbery.
Really, like the mirror glaze especially. Mm. Paul said it was like trying to eat rubber.
Ooh.
Which just doesn't feel like a good time for anyone.
No. But it looked stunning.
But it looked stunning.
Yeah, beautiful.
Much better than Carol's use of the mirror glaze.
Should we talk about Maxie's sunset surprise?
Oh.
It looked like basically she'd created a sunset inside. So she'd done one of those Swiss rolls. She'd done like a Swiss roll that was her sun in the middle. And then she'd done like colours within her cake to look like the colours of a sunset. It was kind of plain, but it was pretty.
It looked, it looked very plain on the outside. It was kind of like, it just looked like a white cake with cream and fruit frosting.
But it had a big red layer on top that when you cut into it started to drip
into
the sunset.
That could have been mirror glaze as well. I wasn't paying attention.
I don't think it was. It was kind of like a jammy thing.
It seems like the sort of thing that mirror glaze would do. But yeah, it was very impressive technically.
Looked nice.
And very neat.
Tasted nice.
And it tasted all right, which is the important thing.
I really loved Kevin's.
Kevin's? What, the dog Doug?
I know he does puns every week, but his dog this week was really cute.
It's a really dorky, derpy looking dog.
And I liked that his surprise was that he made what looked like a log, a big garden log, and the dog had buried the bone. So when you cut into it, there was a little bone in there.
Just running through it, very sweet.
It was really, really sweet.
Really, like just adorable.
Yeah.
Kevin's adorable.
And it had little carrots all around it. There was just lots of cute little details.
Yeah. Lots of really sweet little details.
I don't think it tasted great.
No, and it was rubbery.
Rubbery, yeah.
Again, actually his cake was rubbery.
Mm.
Like you saw it when he
overbaked that cake.
When Paul was cutting it away, the cake like literally fell and you saw it twist and bend.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good time.
Mm.
Orally, it wasn't a good time.
Yeah. Oh my god, Yanoush's.
Oh, Yanoush again with this really
beautiful,
clear artistic style.
Yeah, plain white cake, multicolored polka dots, like that cake drip where you kind of put the icing on the edge and it drips down, looking beautiful with like multicolored pride icing kind of piped on the top.
Just
and what was
good.
The surprise inside his cake, Josh?
He made a little cupcake inside the cake.
And it
Yo,
looked...
dog, I heard you like cake. So I put cake inside your cake
it
so you
looked...
can cake while you cake.
It looked like a fucking cupcake. You could see the rainbow layers of the thing.
Yeah.
You saw the white shape and the little cherry on top.
Yes, the cherry on top.
It looked so good.
It was really, really good.
And it was a delicious chocolate cake, which they said was a very good chocolate cake.
Yeah, he's had a good week this week.
Yeah, he did really well.
Which brings us to Shabira.
Be positive.
Be positive, which I think is a good mantra to have.
Mm-hmm.
She'd made like a sweet little bee motif to go on the top. There was a kind of honeycomb, honey.
Yeah, chunks of honeycomb
vibe.
Around the edge, little tiny bees.
She made tiny fondant bees, as Alicia said.
Yeah.
She had some issues getting like this bee comb, this honeycomb and bee motif on the top. It's originally going to be like a gelatin set thing, and then she put it in some more gelatin, but it broke apart. But
yeah,
she rescued it cannily using cocktail sticks to hold everything in place.
Yeah, it was a very delicate thing that when she took it out of the stencil, it just cracked, and then she very neatly placed it on top of the cake, put it all back together, poured the gelatin on, and was like, I'll just leave it to set. And as soon as she went to move it off the desk, of course, gelatin being a liquid, it all wobbled out of place.
Conservation of momentum.
But like you said, toothpicks came to the rescue. And I think it looked pretty good.
It looked so much better than it was going to.
And she used another melon flavour, and she dulled down the melon to make sure it wasn't overwhelming like her watermelons, and there wasn't enough melon.
She undermeloned her cake.
Oh, Shabira.
Shabira over watermeloning, but under melon-meloning.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Absolute bloody nightmare. But you know who didn't have a nightmare?
Sandro. Sandro took on the challenge of making the earth. Making a fully round cake.
He made a fucking globe.
Yeah. And he had the inside was like the earth's core, and he'd made this set gelatin thing with like berries and red jelly and all of this.
Yeah. He did a really, really impressive job.
Yeah, he piped little islands on the outside when it was done and stuck a little mini Sandro in one of the islands.
It did look, to me, visually, I didn't think it was as appealing as Yanusha's.
No, not at all.
But
it was much messier.
It was messier. It looked kind of more homemade.
Yes. But a much more difficult thing that he attempted.
Yeah, he did something much more difficult, but he's apparently tasted absolutely scrumdiddlyumptious.
Yes, delicious. They loved it. They thought it was brilliant.
Mm.
And we did talk about Dawn's right at the start, but we didn't talk about what the judges think. And basically, it was pretty bad on all counts. Dawn previewed to see whether her thing had worked. She knew that she'd messed up her gelatin flowers because they just didn't come out of the mold.
Yep.
But she cut it open before displaying it. And like, you couldn't see a mushroom hidden in there. The flowers were just like weird yellow lumps.
It was a moussey clusterfuck.
And she just covered it with like cream and icing and like crumbs of stuff. It just looked like a mess.
She really fucked up.
And the judges said, yeah, they liked the flavours, but nothing else was enjoyable about it.
But otherwise a nightmare. Sandro, during this entire challenge, had a lot of fridge-based luck. He must have had like the good fridge or freezer because everything he went to set perfectly.
Also, throughout. He might just be good at baking, you know.
He could be good at baking, good at timings, yeah.
You thinking this is all down to fridge luck?
Could be down to fridge luck. I know that some fridges work better than other fridges.
Well, yes.
And I guarantee by now, at this point in the process, what are they, 5 weeks in? They know which fridges are good.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
I get the good job this week.
You do.
And I get to say who won Star Baker. And there was quite a few contenders this week. There was quite a few people who'd been in the top, been doing a good job. But coming out this week with the title of Star Baker was... Sandro!
Way!
He did a really good job. I think overall, Yanoush was better this week.
Mm.
But Sandro's globe cake won the day.
Sandro deserves...
Yeah.
Star Baker.
He's worked really hard
All the previous weeks.
And
I don't think he's had Star Baker yet.
No, and he's challenged himself this week with that cake. So
he's
well
been
deserved.
So close every single bloody week.
Mm-hmm.
Great
Love
job.
Love to see it.
Fantastic. Good job for you, Sandro.
Go celebrate with Rebs, who you may or may not be dating.
And if peace and happiness, you know. Which means that I've got the rubbish job this week of announcing who's leaving the tent. And it's with a heavy heart and large apple-catching knickers that I have to say that we're saying goodbye to the wonderful, frizzy purple-haired Carol.
Bye, Carol.
Bye, Carol.
I think it was your time, but you did a really good job staying in and doing what you did.
Carol,
you
were a fighter.
Great fun.
And honestly, and I mean this with no disrespect, you've run out of people that were worse than you.
Yeah, like, that's generally how it works.
Every week...
Although Dawn gave her a run for her money this week.
Dawn did... I think Dawn's...
Skin of her teeth.
I think Dawn is hanging on by a thread. But I think every week previous to this, I've been sat there thinking, how the fuck hasn't Carol gone home?
Yes, Carol has been on the ropes for a while.
It's just because every week there's been one person who's had a shocking week. That means that Carol didn't go home.
Yeah, but I think this was her time.
Yeah.
I think it was a fair decision. But... Next week,
spooky, scary skeletons send shivers down your spine.
Next week is Halloween, which is weird because it's not Halloween.
I know, it won't be Halloween. It'll be coming out on the 18th, I think, which, as we well know, isn't Halloween.
No, either way, they're doing spooky, spooky treats. I don't really know what
they
are, but I'm excited to see them.
Didn't give much away in the preview. I do know that there is a hanging, but you're going to have to wait to hear what we think about that. Whenever we release the next episode.
Thanks for listening. As always, listen to our main podcast if you want to. We will have a Halloween special of our own coming out. So keep an eye on our feed. Go follow us on socials at Dice and a Slice. DiceNaslice. Okay, friends, have a good week. Eat lots of baked goods.
And don't get too spooked.